Raise up your hands once again. Say, Father, speak to me today.
Speak to me today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Are we ready? Today, we are dealing with the enemy behind the scene. Say, dealing with the enemy behind the scene. I can't hear you properly. Say it again. There is always the enemy behind the scene. I will start with this. Do I have anyone here who says, Major, really, I don't understand what causes what I pass through? I know I have a problem, and I know I have something that I'm looking for, but I can't get it. What causes for me to be passing through what I'm passing through? I don't know. Because honestly, I'm beautiful to get married, but I can't. What hinders me from not getting married? I really don't know. I am educated and qualified. What makes me not get a job? I really don't know. What makes me not be promoted? I really don't know. What makes me not really to get a job? I don't know. What makes me to be backsliding? I want to move forward, but all the times I find myself falling. I really don't understand myself. And sometimes I can get money, but how my money finishes, I don't understand. I really don't know what's happening around my life. I pray, I come to church, but what's happening with me, I don't know. Really, I've been praying, and I'm praying, and I do pray, but what makes me not get miracles, answers, the solutions? I really don't know. Do you have anyone here of the same situation? No, don't say yes. I want to see your hand up. Do you have anyone who says, I just want to know what really happens around my life, and I want a solution out of that? Do you have anyone in the overflow having the same situation? In the miracle tent? Do you have anyone in the miracle tent and in the horsey? All right. Then you are in the right place, because today, that nonsense happening behind you, I will handle it. That person behind your situation. Wait. Our church, we are not a religious church. We are not of... We are not even Pentecostals. We are a prophetic church.
Oh, yes.
Oh, someone asked me a question. They said, you say you're not Pentecostal. Who are you? I said, we are of the upper room.
Oh, yes.
Oh, when Jesus' disciples were in the upper room, the Pentecostals were in the stadium. It was on the day of Pentecost. And the Pentecost means a celebration 50 days after the harvest. In Israel, they have got the Pentecost, which means celebrating. It's like a holiday, like Mandela Day. Pentecost in Israel. It's not a church. So on that day, the Holy Ghost came, not to the Pentecostals, but to the people who were in the upper room. Pentecostals were the ones who were persecuting the people in the upper room. We are not of the Pentecostals. We are of the...
Yeah! Power!
No wonder Pentecostals will be like, no, they are no prophets. We are not Pentecostals. So we are of the upper room.
We are of the room.
So from a heaven perspective.
From heaven perspective.
We are people of class.
We are people of class.
We don't stress.
We don't stress.
In our family.
In our family.
We relax.
We relax.
So, when you come to our church, you know, people tend to wonder why, when they come to the church, they hear noise, everybody's making noise. Because prophetic ministry, it is actually symbolized with a horn, a trumpet. Because prophetic ministry is a voice. It's a movement. It makes noise.
Oh, yes.
That's why the whole town, they will never attack any other pastor, but they'll be attacking prophets.
Oh, yes.
Because a prophetic ministry is a ministry of noise. Where we pass, we leave noise.
Oh, yes.
Can I hear the joy?
Yay! Nature!
Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
That's my boss.
Yeah!
And I met somebody. He said to me, he said, hey, this is in America. I was in America now. Somebody said, hey, I don't understand. Why do people look at you and say, prophesy? I said, it started with God. When God met Ezekiel, he said, son of man, prophesy.
Oh, yes. Major one, prophesy.
You know, when God bumps with the prophet, the only thing he said was what? Prophesy.
Prophesy.
Even Isaiah says, prophesy, son of man. Ezekiel, prophesy. Jeremiah, son of man,
prophesy.
Prophesy. Even God, when he bumps with the prophet, he says what?
Prophesy.
Are you ready? Are you ready for something big to happen?
Yes.
I want to share with you for a few minutes, as I said, dealing with the enemy behind the scene. Joshua. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1 from verse 14. And today, we're going to look in the NIV. Translation. The Bible says, your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of Jordan. But your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers, your wives, children, and the livestock. I remember telling you that God does not allow the following into the battlefield. And I said, the life we are living in, it is a spiritual warfare. We are having things we contend with, invisible forces that we don't see with our eyes, that we fight with every day. Look at your neighbor and say, you better listen. No, tell your neighbor, you better listen. We fight with invisible powers, invisible forces. Now the Bible says, we don't wrestle, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers, against rulers, against principalities, against authorities of the dark world. You can't see a disease when it's coming. You can't see poverty. You can't see a demon. You can't see sin. They're invisible forces. Say, invisible forces.
Invisible.
You can't see a demon that is behind the failure of your success. So we are fighting against things we don't see, yet they see us. And life is a spiritual warfare. It's not just a life that we're living in. And we have so many Christians who think we're living in the physical world. Yes, practically we are living in the physical world, but hear me this. This world is more spiritual than we think it is physical. Because we are passing through things we don't understand. Affected by two worlds, the heavenly world and the demonic world. And all these are fighting on this earth as a battle zone. You can see the devil, you can see God. And you are living in the same world. So it's not physical as we think. It is so spiritual. And God had to make your body to be a keeper of you. You are not you as you think you are you. I told you once, I said, you are a spirit, not this flesh. You are a spirit living in the body, not a body keeping the spirit. The real you is not the physical you. When your name is John, it's not the physical body that's called John. It is your spirit that is called John. Because when your body is still there, but when you are dead, they want to say John is dead. And we're going to get it from the mortuary. No, they won't say that. They're going to say, John is gone, and we're going to get the remains. Yes. Yes. So it is not you. The Bible says when God had made a man with his hands, he wasn't a living man. And to the Bible said God in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and God breathed in a man, Genesis 2, 7. And man became a living soul. Well, are you there? Yes. The Bible says that God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became the living being. In King James Version says the living soul. So a man became a living thing when a soul was breathed in, when the spirit, when the real man was breathed in. So it is not you until you have the spirit. And your spirit looks exactly like you. And your spirit is what you see in your dreams. And in your dreams, when you are sleeping, if you are black, you don't dream in the dream that you're white. Oh, come on, I'm not talking about, unless it's a demonic dream. Unless it's a demonic dream. But in the dream, if you're a man, you don't see yourself as a woman in the dream. If you're fat, you don't see yourself as thin. The way you are, that's how you see yourself in the dream. Because that is the real you. And God made the dream world to exist so he can prove to us that there is the spirit. Your spirit is not limited by anything. It is your flesh that is limited. So people who operate under the flesh gets limited. But the people who operate under the spirit are unlimited. You will never hear God with your physical ears, but with your spiritual ears, yes. Where you are sitting, I can make your spirit busy right now. And I want to do that now. I want to send your spirit. And I want you to go home now. Go to your house. Are you there? Yes. All right. Go, go, go. If I thought you have to go to the house, right? Go to the house. Are you there? Yes. Where you sleep, actually. Are you there? Yes. Go to any shop you know in your area. Any shop you know, go in. Are you there? Yes. Get anything you want in the shop. And walk out. Don't pay. Don't pay anything. Just walk out. Are you here? Are you back? If you had to go physically, it could take you hours. But spiritually, it's a second. This is how we operate in the spiritual realm. When your spirit, which is the real you, gets born again. And when the same spirit gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when you graduate from a young level and grow in the spirit, you are able to use your spirit properly. And you are able to, oh my goodness, I'm talking to people who. Say, so here you measure. The problem of you is you are moving so slow because you are using your physical mind. You are using the faculties of your medulla oblongata. So it's like, that's why I can tell somebody, can I go to your house? Yes. I can go to your house right now and come back and tell you I was in your house. Because I trained my spirit. So when you got saved, when you received Jesus, you are no longer living in the physical world, but there is a spiritual world that you are living in. John described these worlds as the world of sin, the world of judgment, the world of righteousness. Hello? So the Bible says the world of sin, because the devil has been a sinner from the beginning. And the word of judgment, because the devil is judged. And the word of righteousness, because he who is in you is holy. Now, I want to show you something, because that's a problem. We're having creatures who are praying prayers which God is not answering. Not to me. Say, not to me. I'm telling you, if I can tell you now, say, I'm going to pray, it will rain, it will really rain. If I say I'm going to pray now, fire will come, fire will really come. No, any prayer, even if I'm joking, it will happen. I have trained myself never to fight battles which have no solutions. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, you better listen. You have been troubling me for so long, you better listen. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. So when you graduate, when you move from one level of life and you understand there is war in the spiritual world, you don't behave the way you behave sometimes. It's quite amazing to see how some Christians behave. The enemy is fighting you, by the way, you are behaving like there's no war at all. The devil is intensifying himself, putting trouble in your life, one after another, by the way you are behaving. You are not fighting back. You are not hitting back. Oh my goodness. Time has come where you must rise up. Can I talk to somebody? Can I? Are you here?
Yes.
And I told somebody, I said, why are you not fighting back? The devil is putting so many problems in you. The person said, no, it is written. When they slap you one side of your cheek, give them your other side. I said, you are foolish in capital letters. Huh. The Bible says, when they slap you one side of your cheek, give them your other side. It didn't say your other side of the cheek, but just your other side. Yes, you have got two sides. There's the physical side of you and the other side, which is the spiritual side. So Jesus meant when they attack you physically, give them your spiritual side.
Oh yes.
Not the way your Sunday school teacher was translating the things. Peter took the sword and cut off one ear with the sword. And Jesus said, ah. He said, he took the ear and put it back. And he said to Peter, put back the sword in its place. He didn't say throw it away. Because where we are going, there are so many ears to cut.
Jesus.
Major revelation. The Bible says pray for your enemies. But it didn't give us petition. All what the Bible says is pray for your enemy. But how? It didn't say. It's up to us to choose how to pray for our enemies. Pray for our enemies. I heard somebody was like, Father, I pray, bless our enemies. Oh, they will really be blessed. And they will think it's their wickedness making them being blessed. Jesus said, do you know if I wanted I could have called angels from heaven and fight back this war. But because it is the will of God that I go on the cross and die. So as if for me, I'm not going on the cross to die for somebody. You attack me, I attack you back.
Oh yes. Do it, Major.
Tell your neighbor, you hit me, you die.
You hit me, you die.
I hit you, you scatter.
I hit you, you scatter.
Yeah! Power!
The disciples were tired of Herod. So tired of him. He killed James, he arrested Peter. They said, no, enough is enough. One day, Herod, as was sitting on the chair, the Bible says the angel of the Lord came with a sword. And he took the sword straight on his big stomach. And the Bible says, and he died right there. And worms ate him instantly. So when I'm tired, neighbor, I'll not hold it anymore. I'll be forced to release weapons of mass destruction. I hate this kind of a church which is like, oh, hallelujah, oh, saints, oh, love our enemies, and pray for, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When you are praying and when you know that there's a level that you must reach and that you must change things in life and the devil is standing on your way, remove that devil before he removes you. Tell him about remove the devil before he removes you.
Remove the devil before he removes you.
Oh, put the hands, somebody, put the hands. Are you following somebody? Are you following somebody? Are you following? So when you are in the spiritual warfare, every Christian is called into the battlefield. All right? If you want to know how God has intensified his army, which is the church, you can check from Joel chapter 2. The Bible talks over how this army, which is us, how strong we shall be. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2, it says, this army shall be so strong. Let me read for you a little bit from Joel chapter 2, from verse 3. Let me just show something for you, okay? A fire devours before them. Behind them a flame burns. The land is the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them, oh, let's start from verse 2. Let's start from verse 2. I want to show people something. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. This is the vision Joel was seeing of the last day when the Spirit of God shall be poured out. There shall be a great people, which is us. He was seeing us in a vision how we shall look like. He said, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it. My God, there will be no one stronger and greater than us. It says, even to the years of many generations. Verse 3. A fire devours before them. Actually, where you are standing, there's fire burning ahead of you. That's what Joel was saying. A fire devours before them. And he says, and behind them, a flame burns. The land is the Garden of Eden before them. It says, where we are going, ahead of us, the land, everything's like in the Garden of Eden. No sickness ahead of us, our land, our future. No diseases, no power of evil. It says it's like Eden. And what is behind? It says, a land before them is like Garden of Eden before them. And behind them, a desolate wilderness. Meaning to say, behind us there's a desert. Ahead of us, Eden Garden. But some of you, actually you are passing in a desert. Some of you, your land is like a desert. You are struggling. Things are not moving. You are in a spiritual desert. But it's supposed to be, the desert is supposed to be behind you. You didn't hear me? That's a vision. So it's like that because you are not that strong and you are not that God's army, as Joel says, that God will raise up the army who shall be like so strong. And he says, yeah, and nothing shall escape them. Nothing shall escape us. Nothing. But why are blessings escaping from your hands? You get a contract, it goes, ah. You get this thing, it goes. You get this thing, it goes out of your hands. You get a boyfriend, it goes. You get these things escaping from your hands. But the Bible says, this army, nothing shall escape from their hands. If they get something, they're going to take it, as the Bible says, it shall be like Zerubbabel. He says, he shall start the foundation, and his hands also shall finish building it. And the people who shall see him, they shall shout, grace, 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 grace. Oh, am I talking to somebody here? The Bible prophesies of our generation. It says we are like the army. Verse 4 says, it says the appearance of them is the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Our appearance, when the devil looks at us, we look like horses. And like horsemen, and like horses, so shall we run. We shall not walk. Your things must run, not walk. There must be a speed in whatever you're trying to do. Am I communicating to somebody? Some like a horseman. The Bible says their appearance is like of horses. Yet when you see yourself with a problem, you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I don't know who am I. Come on, the Bible says you're like a horse. You're like a horseman of war. And you shall run like a horse. Am I communicating to somebody? No more to be feeling anything at all. The poverty power is useless to you. The power of sin is useless to you. You are a military person spiritually. You are not gonna go down. You shall go. Oh my God.
I see.
Some dangerous.
I'm dangerous.
Verse 5. The Bible says, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of the flame of fire that devours the stable, as the strong people sit in the battle array. Are you set in the battle array yourself? That's a question. Are you set in a battle array? When the devil brings a problem, what do? Do you fight back, or all you do is begging God to do something for you? The problem we're having, Christians who are busy telling God, oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus, do this for me, do this for me. No way. Jesus said, for those who shall believe in my name, the following signs shall follow them. In my name, they shall cast out evils. It's not God's responsibility to remove that demon in your life. If you believe, it's your responsibility. Command the demon of immorality. Command the demon of drinking. Command the demon of poverty. Command the demon of stagnation. It is your responsibility. Those who shall believe. The Bible says, for those who shall believe in my name, they shall cast out. And you are busy telling God to remove it. You are not set in the battle array. So I'm standing in my battle position. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? It's not God's responsibility. That's why you're wondering, it's not moving out. And Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 9, verse 29, and he said, this kind can it come out by nothing, but by prayer and the fasting. It's not God's position to remove it. Jesus said nothing, meaning even God can't remove it until you pray, until you fast. Oh, am I talking to somebody here? Set on a battle position. Locate yourself in the battlefield. Am I communicating to somebody? Get your gun, whether it's a pistol, whether it's a whatever, bulletproof, take, get ready. We're going to fight. We're going to chase the enemy. We're going to paralyze. We're going to disarm. We're going to invade. We're going to destroy. We're going to break every demonic warehouse. Somebody shout. Say, we're going to invade every demonic warehouse.
Every demonic warehouse.
One day I had a vision where I saw this big warehouse. Guess what I saw? I saw there were rings, rings. The devil is keeping people's marriages in that warehouse. I saw money. I saw houses. I saw the devil is keeping what was supposed to come to you. He took it and is keeping it. Today, we're going to break every demonic warehouse.
I see.
Say, Major, you're talking to me.
Major, you're talking to me.
Tell your neighbor, set yourself on a battle position. Position yourself.
Position yourself.
So there is fire burning ahead of you, neighbor. You carry the fire.
Carry fire.
Say you're like a horse.
You are like a horse.
Verse 6. The Bible says, before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. People shall, before their face. In other words, in their presence, in their midst. When they go for an interview and there are 1,000 people, only them will be picked. And the, all other people will be pained. Like how? Why only him? Why? Why? Says, not my fault. It's my position.
It's my position.
Oh, put your hands if you can. Somebody, put your hands. I said, put your hands if you can. Somebody. I want to show you something. Jeremiah 51, verse 20. Are you there? Don't forget, Jesus never says, I will remove demons out of you. He says what? Those who shall believe in my name, they shall cast out. Not him casting them for you. No. So why things are not changing in your life is because you are not changing yourself. Getting yourself into the battle array. Jeremiah 51 verse 20. The Bible says, that art my battle axe. And weapons of war. Give me an IV for someone to understand. It says, you are my war club. My weapon for battle. With you, I shatter nations. With you, I destroy kingdoms. God says, you are my battle. He says, with you. While it is you actually who says, God, destroy my things. God says, with you, I destroy. So you, it's not God's responsibility. God, in the Old Testament, long time ago, he took his position and he gave us. He says, you are my battle axe and you are my weapons of war. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. With you, I will destroy nations. Oh, am I talking to somebody? Some of you, you are just like a pistol. Some of you are intercontinental ballistic missiles. Some dangerous. But why are you having all those nonsense happening around you? Why all those delays in your life? The devil can delay you. Why all those nonsense, stagnations happening? And you wonder by now you are supposed to be very far. And you know it. But why all these things happening? That's why one day David had a revelation. He said, the Lord God shall restore all my wasted years. After today, all the years the devil wasted, you shall recover them. You shall. Say, you are talking to me, prophet.
You are talking to me, prophet.
Say, really, so many years have gone, nothing has happened in my life.
Really, so many years has gone.
Say, I'm standing on my battle position.
I'm standing on my battle position.
Say, dealing with the enemy behind the scene.
Dealing with the enemy behind the scene.
Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yes.
Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yes.
Now, have we agreed that we are now, it's us who we are supposed to fight?
Yes.
Are we together on that position?
Yes.
God has said we are like what? Horsemen, and we are on a battle position. All right? Joel 2, verse 8. I want to show you something. Now, God has said, of our position. I want to show you this. Verse 8. Let's start from verse 7 to get it well. The Bible says, they charge like warriors. That's why I keep on telling you, people can wage war against me. They'll never win. Because me too, where I am, on my own, I'm a weapon. Hiya, yeah. On my own, I am a soldier of Christ.
Oh, yes.
Hey. Mm-hmm. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. Neither does one thrust upon another. They don't fight each other. Hey, but these other soldiers. Busy. Oh, you see that one? They don't. Our war is not against our brother or our boss. It is against the enemy behind the boss. The invisible force. What makes your wife to be talking like that? What makes your husband to be talking like that? What makes your aunt to be angry with you? It's not her. There is the demon behind doing that. We will not handle the aunt. We're going to handle the enemy behind the aunt. They walk everyone in his path. And they burst through and upon the weapons. Yet they are not wounded. And do not change their course. They say they fall on a sword. But they are not what? Wounded. The devil throws a sword, but they are not what? Wounded. They fall on a temptation, but they are not tempted. Oh, did you hear that?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
The devil brings stagnation, but they are not stagnant. That's why Apostle Paul said what? Step down. But not destroyed. Rejected, but not abandoned. Oh, am I talking to somebody right here? Am I speaking to somebody right here? They may put their weapons against us. The Bible never says, when we say that, it doesn't mean that the weapons want to come. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That does not mean weapons want to be formed. Actually, the Bible says, weapons will be formed against you, but they shall not what? Prosper. So diseases shall come, yes. Sicknesses, poverty, all these weapons shall relocate you. But when they shall come on you, they shall not what? Prosper. Is somebody hearing me? Is somebody hearing me? The Bible says, neither does one thrust upon one another. They walk everyone in his path and they burst through and upon weapons, yet they are not wounded, and do not change their course. 9. They leap upon the city. They run upon the wall. They climb upon and enter the houses. They enter in at the windows like a thief. It means when you close the door for them, they'll use the window. Tell your neighbor, all the doors which are closed for me, I shall use the window. I shall still go in. This is a vision which Joel saw, the prophet, of the future church, which is this church, our generation. He saw the present world church. So praise be to God. I'm in the present church. The church of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Turn about, yes. So now I know my mistake. I wasn't the fighting. Me, I'm a fighter. Me. When I'm looking for something, it's taking time, you will see me praying. When I'm seeing something happening not well, you will see me praying. I'm not like people who just say, oh, me, nothing's moving. I need, oh, demons, we need deliverance in our family. No way. I am a warrior. I know I'm living in the world where the devil is fighting, and God actually warned us. He said, woe unto you, the land and the sea, for the evil one has stepped down unto you. He said, woe unto you. He said, woe unto you. So there is, he rang the bell to warn us. And all we are doing is to come to church. And all we are doing is to say, God, and I've been praying. Praying what? It's not for you to be praying. It's time for you to command the things which are not moving well to start moving well. It's the time to remove. The Bible says, behold, I give you power to plant and uproot, to build and destroy. Am I communicating to somebody right here? Why are you not destroying it? Why are you not uprooting it? Every seed which is in my family, which is not from God, I uproot it in the name of Jesus. Every plantation in my business, which is not from God, I uproot it. Every power moving in my life, I destroy it in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm a fighter. For some of you, keep on waiting like that. Keep on saying, oh, I'm praying. I've been praying for something to happen. Keep on waiting. Some of us, we don't wait. We remove it. Yeah, so it's good to be praying. God will answer the time he wants. Some of us, we remove ourselves. So I receive that one. And you keep on encouraging each other. Oh, sister in the Lord, keep on praying, you know. Keep on praying. Sister in the Lord, oh, brother in the Lord, keep on praying. Brother, what? Keep on praying what? This is not something to pray for. Eh? Don't mistake prayer and intercession. We intercede for the mind of God on a particular event. For example, if God is about to destroy a country, we may intercede for God to stop. We may, if there's a plan of the enemy against something, we may intercede. To intercede means to intercept. You stand up. He stands here. All right? You stand up. He stands here. You stand here. All right? Now, this is a weapon coming in this country, like America. They have got weapons of interception. When you throw a bomb in their country, they'll intercept it. It won't fall in America, it will fall in a sea. So there are weapons which 24/7 monitor the space. Anything coming in the air, they monitor it, machines. And automatic, without telling them, if it's a bomb, automatic they'll detect, and automatic they'll rise from America. They'll go in the atmosphere and emit the bomb in the air, neutralize it, grab it, and throw it into the sea. where everyone is sleeping in America. Did you hear that? Exactly. That's what we're doing with intercession. Intercession is when there was an attack supposed to happen somewhere, where then the church, we intercede to intercept. Now, you'll be coming. He's coming here. To intercept means this. So he's spared. It was about to go to him, but it is. So when we intercede, we intercept. All the plans of the enemy, we intercept. Do you hear that? Sit down. Now, so don't mistake. Oh, Father, I'm praying. I want you to help me. Look, my family, we are struggling. Oh, Lord God, we pray that you bless us. Yes, it's a good prayer. God answers prayer. But then there is a time where God wants you to fight now. In the name of Jesus, every power and force. In the name of Jesus. Elijah was not praying to God to say, Father, I pray, send fire from heaven and consume my enemy. Oh, Lord. So, no way. Elijah was saying, if I be a man of God, let the fire come from heaven and consume you. That's the level that God wants you to be. If I be a woman of God, let fire consume every demon in my family. If I be a man of God, let the fire of the Holy Ghost consume everyone standing and opposing my destiny. In the name of Jesus, I decree. Overflow. Are you hearing me? Oh, I just love overflow. I don't know why. I can see so many people from Malawi that side. Say, Major, Professor.
Professor.
I don't know why, but I love fighting in the spiritual realm. You see, that's why when demons see me, they tremble. They go like, hey! Not you. Let's fight. They say, not you. They want to fight with my sons. Demons are crazy. Some a fighter. Say it again.
I'm a fighter.
You must reach a level where when demons look at you, they should be saying, do you want to kill me? I never said anything. Do you want to kill me? Who are you? Hey, don't kill me before time. Did I say anything? Look what somebody say, you are a fighter.
You are a fighter.
That battle, it wasn't supposed to reach this level. From my view, neighbor, the devil is winning.
The devil is winning.
Say, that's why?
That's why.
You are going through that.
That's
but from today, I doubt.
I doubt.
If the devil will ever touch you again. You see, there are bullets coming from every direction. But don't give up. Tell them about don't give up.
Don't give up.
Tell them about don't give up.
Don't give up.
I have ever been in a battlefield before where bullets are moving on top of your head. In 1994, we had, in our country, we had Operation Buesani. My father used to work for Malawi Young Pioneers, where they used to handle guns, and they were well-trained soldiers. And there was some sort of a little civil war, sort of. So we once went through where my father's camp and the army, they were exchanging fire. And both of them, they were for the government. Like police exchanging guns with army. But this wasn't the police, it was also a special force, also highly trained for war. And I remember guns, a bullet moving on your head. They say, all you'll be hearing is drop down. You drop down. And you are seeing them shooting this side. And you are seeing your father there with a gun. Open fire! One is falling down, boom, dead. Advance! And they say, advance, they should go where the guns are shooting. I said, oh my God, Shineke. Huh? Where people are shooting, they are shooting you, then they tell you, advance. I like that, you know, the military life. I just love it. They are so confident. Bullets are coming ahead of them, they say, advance. If they say advance, even if you are seeing bullets coming, you don't say, hey, but there are bullets coming here, sir. You don't say, but sir, commander, you don't know what you're talking about. My friend just died now. When they say advance, but in this army, we are having unskilled fighters. When God say advance, that's when you give up. And some of you are giving up now. Until now, nothing is changing. Changing what? Who's going to change it? The Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And I told you the definition of power. Power means what? Ability to cause changes. So God is saying you shall receive the ability to cause changes. It's not God who shall cause the change. It is you who receive the power. For those who received him were given the ability to cause dynamic changes. You are waiting for a change to happen. It is you who is the change causer. Oh, somebody say, I hear you, Major.
Hey, Major.
Oh, I want God to change my life. Who will change your life? God wants you to change your life. Decree and declare. I refuse to be poor. I refuse to be sick. I decree and I declare. I am a child of the Father. I am a seed of Abraham. Hey, where is the devil now?
Oh, yes.
Say, I'm a fighter.
I'm a fighter.
Are you hearing me, somebody? And my father was arrested in this battle. My father was arrested. And my father, he was the one who was teaching the whole country acrobatics. And he was a dangerous man. He's still alive. And he was teaching how to run on a rope. And they used to run on the rope. This is high training in the military. And he used to do all these acrobatics and jump, and he was doing tall obstacle where he could go up without a parachute and jump. And he still land on the earth without anything. He was trained by people from Japan. And he was a highly trained person. And he was arrested. So he was the one who was in charge of the whole place of that camp. And he went to police to say, we don't want war, as the president had commanded. The chief commander is the president. So he ordered to say, this group, all of you drop down your guns. And you have no choice but to drop you again. And all the other soldiers in his side, where the president said, drop it down your gun, some dropped and some were refusing. And including at the camp where we were, some were refusing and some were saying, we'll listen to the president to drop down the guns. So my father, being in charge, he went to police and make a call to the army to say, our president has said we must drop the guns. So you come at police and we do peaceful disarmament. And when the army went to police, they said, oh, yeah, let's do it peacefully. But when they went to police, instead of the peaceful thing, they arrested him and began to torture him. Well, the other soldiers had not yet dropped their guns in the bush where we were with them. Oh my God, I've never seen something like that. Huh? People who are in these battlefields in Syria and other countries, pray for them. It's not easy. You don't have even appetite. I'm telling you. There's no appetite. But you wonder how soldiers now enjoy. Takes a gun and he goes there like this. I'm like, what? They say, let's go. I'm like, where? And they're going. So the mistake they did was to arrest my father. Now this other group said, now we're going to go and help him to walk out of their hands. But I don't know if the Christians help each other. They laugh at one another. When one falls, they're like, you see, we knew it. We knew it. We knew it. Look now. Christians, because we are not yet soldiers, that's a problem.
Yeah.
How do you celebrate when one of your friends is arrested? And when they arrest you in the military, they call you from now, they declare you, they say from now you are a prisoner of war. Oh my God, a prisoner of war is not a prisoner which you have in your stations. They torture you, they take a knife, they took a knife and pressed it on the back side of my father and like this. All the bones here were out. They put a cloth on his face, tied him and tied his leg and tied a rope on his leg and put on top of a branch. And when they are putting there, his legs were going up. And the whole body will go up and they will leave it and he will go hit the ground with his head. So like enough, he was already trained for that. He was trained. Before war, they went in the training where they were, all those things when they were, he was already trained. So when it was happening to him, it was part of the training he had. That's why we fast when there's no problem. So that when war comes, when you are already trained. You don't train at the battlefield. You will die. He was already trained. He was trained anything. Soldiers are trained how to run with a bag, heavy bag in the water. They're already trained. When they go to war and they meet that, to them is nothing. It's part of what they went through in training. And they took him and they put him in the helicopter and went up like this. And they pushed, they said, you were training your friends how to jump from on top. Now they put him in a helicopter and went up like this and pushed him without a parachute. And he went like this and landed without being wounded. They said, you see, they took a butt of the gun and hit him. Well, his friends were planning how to come and rescue him. And they did. They rescued him. I'm telling you. But what happens with the Christian soldiers? What happens? What happens? One person is attacked, everybody laughs. On Facebook, actually. Kick, 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 kick. You what? You hear a pastor has been beaten. Hey, we knew it. Hey, these men of God. Hey, like serious? We are not in the camp of the devil. We are in the same camp of God. But when one is being persecuted, we tend to run away and show as if we have no any association with him. But one thing we forget, he is a saint. His persecution is the persecution of the whole church.